Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. You can also go to the website, which is www.guardiantalkradio.com. You can live stream us at that website. Just go there and click the live stream button. So if you just have a computer and not like one of those old like transistor radios, you can actually still find it. I heard that in like Norway, they don't have transistor radios anymore. Everyone is digital. They've just canceled everything. It's very weird. Anyhow, I have two guests on the show tonight. We are back to the National Exhibition. Last week we had a show where I was in Jamaica, so I'm also back from Jamaica, and where I was there to actually judge their National Exhibition, which was a really interesting process. But we're now back to our National Exhibition, and we're going to do a series with artists participating in the NEH, and two are here in the studio tonight. So I'm welcoming Margot Bethel. Good evening, Margot.
Good evening.
And Leanne Russell, all the way from, Abaco. I know,
Abaco.
I'm like, Abaco.
Hello.
Hi. I know. We tape early in the morning, so it's always pre-coffee, which is a bad idea. So both of you are participating in the National Exhibition, which I think is interesting this year because Holly Bynoe, our chief curator, decided to not have a theme. And to really allow the artists to just kind of make work about things that were interesting to them. But once all the work came in and she made the selection and the work went up, it was very clear that certain themes were just in the consciousness of Bahamian artists, whether Bahamian artists living in the Bahamas or abroad. And there were these consistent themes of belonging, of identity, and specifically many about the role of women in society and gender and the way people assume we are should be. Both of you made works that deal with issues they're different, like they deal with different issues, but they all go back to gender, right? And so I thought it'd be interesting to have the two of you in. So I'm going to first introduce the audience to Margot. Margot Bethel is trained as a carpenter, right, which was really interesting. And I learned all about that last time we had a long drive together. And you're a practicing artist, and you've always, since I've been here, do these like amazing sort of installations where you're just using all different kinds of objects, and you're using your skill as a carpenter to kind of build these environments where you place objects and colors and all different things. And you also did that amazing work with us during Transforming Spaces, where you recreated your grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. And so your work always deals with sort of history and culture and the things around us and the things that form our identities. And you have a really beautiful piece in the NE called Portal. There's a hole in the bucket, but hole is spelt with a capital W and a capital H. So it has a whole different meaning. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But first, I just want you to tell the audience, how you got to be where you are. I think it's always very interesting for people to know how artists choose to become artists, because it's not an easy path. I know Mark is like, oh, dude.
I didn't prepare for this question.
That's okay.
But
the history. I mean, you come from a super creative family. So you are, Dr. Nicolette Bethel is your cousin?
Yeah? Yes, I am. I will drop all the names.
All the names.
All
so,
the names. Just drop them all
you know, but, you know, so like you come from this very creative family that have always been like really engaged with different aspects of Bahamianness, whether it's like through history or through art. So obviously you grew up in an atmosphere that was, I would imagine,
sure,
very intellectually stimulating.
My parents actually my father actually worked in the Guardian, and I'm pretty sure I'm sitting very close to where his office was. He was... Anyway, that's kind of a cool thing for me. My mother was a journalist student, a student of journalism, and that's how they met. So my immediate family, I guess, my parents, weren't creatives in the same way, I guess, as my Uncle Clement, for example.
Yeah, but still being a writer and all that.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, I think,
yeah, so
again,
we
sort of sometimes discount the creativity that's so important in those fields as well, in the
right.
Other kinds of fields.
Yeah, but definitely I grew up in a creative family, and I was introduced to the arts at an early age, and I identified as an artist at an early age.
Oh, that's interesting.
But then I went through a whole crisis where I went, I had to ask myself if I could legitimately own that title.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of responsibility involved in calling oneself an artist. Mm-hmm. And I think I took up a trade, which was really smart for me because I wasn't a big in academia. I wasn't, a big reader in my youth or anything. And I'm much more so now. But the trade was really, really helpful. It kind of helped me to focus a lot of my energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's really interesting is apparently a lot of artists are dyslexic. It's quite common that people they just think because their brain is put together in a different way,
right.
And it's something that's sort of come out as dyslexia in the last sort of 20 years has become more identifiable. That it's really just basically your brain learns in a different way, and very often like your skill set is just a different skill set, and right. It's nothing to do with like intelligence at all. It's
thanks.
Just
I'll take that.
I know it's just like and I've noticed that too. I mean, even working, I hope John won't mind if I say this, working with John Cox, who we all know is like amazing and sure. super intelligent and so creative, to sit down and like write at a computer like was just not something that really it was always like you'd have to just listen to this sort of stream of consciousness,
right.
And then you'd have to find someone else with a skill set to like put that.
That's cool.
So I think it's really interesting when you meet like different artists, like to find out how it is they discovered what their particular skill set was, and how to do that.
And I think we all have that. Mm. As I get older, I get a little bit more forgiving of myself, and I'm learning that I have my own way of doing things, and that's okay.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. My mother used to always say, "There's more than one way to skin a cat."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Charming expression. And now you also ran the Hub for a while, right?
I did, yeah.
And were you the founder of that?
John and I were co-founders.
So John Murray?
And other people, John Murray.
Yeah.
There were other people involved that I consider co-founders.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful space that I happened to have access to as a carpenter. I was working with another artist in the space who was running a business in there. So we were both running a business at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the space spoke to me because it was this kind of raw industrial space. And I previously been living in Toronto for many years. And I came home and I kind of identified. I liked it. And I mean, immediately before we did anything in the space, before we even worked in the space, I thought of it as a gallery. And eventually, we were able to do that for a few years.
Yeah, which was great, which was so important, because I think it's something, we do lack here. These spaces just, not just to show art, but for artists to congregate.
Sure.
And just be together and exchange ideas. I mean, aside from pop-up and,
Right. Yeah, no, I learned a lot. And the location was an interesting one because we had, a good mix of people coming in. And that was a really interesting social experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going over and rehashing it and thinking about, the things that I've learned from that experience.
Yeah, listen, all the learning curve, oh my gosh.
Sure.
So let's more specifically get to the work that you've done for the NE8, which is Portal, There's a Hole in the Bucket, which is a really beautiful work, and I'll try to describe it a little bit for people listening. But really, you should come see the show if you haven't. But it's you've created sort of an environment. So it's in a sort of a niche in the gallery space, and you've built a sort of like roof, a kind of wooden slatted roof in a way, and the light kind of comes through, almost like coming through Venetian blinds, and there's this sort of lovely dim light, and hanging off the slats of wood are various metal buckets, and inside the buckets are round mirrors, which at first sort of look like water. They look like the surface of water. And then in each one, there's like a little mini installation made of kind of really strange objects. A lot of them are organic. And they seem like they all tell stories. And it's interesting to stand there and look and try to be like, okay, what's this story?
Yeah.
One's got a fortune cookie with a fortune coming out. But then there's this little kind of crown of thorns in there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I mean, the immediate, and then another one has like twigs with like sort of colored twine wrapped around. And what's interesting is that they're all suspended above the mirror. So when you look down into the mirror, you actually see the underside of all these little sculptures.
Right.
So it's like very tactile in a weird way, very organic. And of course, you immediately think of women hauling water, and a lot of the shells seem like feminine forms.
Sure.
And so obviously there's a lot to do in there about femininity and like burdens that we carry.
Right.
Can you speak a little bit about how that project came together and like what the different, can you tell us a little, are there any particular stories attached to any of the buckets?
Yes and no. Not in the sense that actually someone asked me if there was anything of my mother's, because I dedicated this work to my mother. I think of it as it is a bit of an homage to mothers in particular. It's about women for sure, and I'm comfortable calling it a feminist piece because I'm trying to, for example, some of the objects that you noted were like the objects, the thorns that were wound with twine, and also the piece of the twig that was wound with twine and colored and painted. I'm sort of trying to make a comment about how we do this with nature. We adorn nature, you know. So some of the objects are sort of, you know, speaking about that's sort of how we also how we are conditioned to be as women. You know, we're asked to put makeup on and wear masks and
adorn
ourselves in a certain way.
We're not complete if our hair's not done and our nails aren't done, and
right. And I mean, this is also something's represented in nature, and oftentimes it's the male species that is more adorned. So it's not it's more an observation of this, and what does this mean to us? And you know, some women enjoy it, and some women don't enjoy it,
and some women actually look worse.
Yeah,
I mean, no, it's interesting. Like some women, like, you know, are made to have a lot of makeup on, and some women just look better natural. It's interesting,
right?
You know, it's really interesting.
So yeah, so a lot of the objects are referencing women's either roles and tasks, and some of, like, there's a clothespin in one of the objects.
And there was one that you then changed, and it was like a little and I was like, where'd it go? Because it was a little I can't remember what they're called, those black spiny things. I'm having a senior moment.
Oh, like a sea urchin?
Sea urchin. So it was like the inside of a sea urchin, but it was full of sewing pins.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful piece because it sort of referenced nature, but there was this, like, again, you know, the sewing pin, something I remember my mother with the pins in her mouth and, like, you know, hemming the skirts.
This is the problem when you ask your friends, you know. I had, because I had so many buckets, or 10 buckets altogether, I had more work. And you filter at the end, and you go, just like you edit anything. And so at the end, I was editing, that object. I might bring it back in another iteration of work if I get an opportunity to do that, because I actually visually really enjoyed that piece. But I realized that there was a continuity in the other objects, where there was an element in all of them from nature, combined with, you know, other objects that may be sort of representations of the feminine, or things that are associated with the feminine.
So tell me about the title, Portal. There's a whole W, capital H, in the bucket.
Yeah, I know. It's a little weird. But, well, the portal part of it, to me, is a reference to the actual mirror. And the mirror does represent water, and water, is, of course, is a feminine, associated with the feminine through the moon, tides, and our menstrual cycles, for example. So water itself, you know, is already kind of, obvious. And then there's also a sound component I wanted to mention.
Yeah, there is. It's true, but you only really hear it when it's quiet. Sometimes the gallery is a bit noisy, and a light component. I notice when it's darker, there's these colored, very, very subtle colored lights too. Yeah, yeah.
So the hole, and then the hole, there's a hole, W-H-O-L-E, and then there's a H-O-L-E.
Yeah.
And of course, we have a lot of holes as women. Yeah. We are vessels. We carry the young, for example, for one thing.
Yeah.
And we carry a lot of other vessels like buckets and things, you know, labor. Mm-hmm. Labor in those senses of the word. So the hole is, I'd like to think that the hole is what you see when you look in the mirror, when you actually see your own reflection. You see yourself as whole, or you know. This is about self reflection and self knowledge, more than about roles and identity.
Yeah.
It's another layer of the piece.
Well, and I think it's really interesting that we've had other work, and this comes up, and I think, you know, we realize this as women too, that so often you're given all these different labels, and so often they're labels that are to do with other people. You're someone's mother, you're someone's wife, you're someone's granny, or whatever.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's only sort of when you're on your own, looking in the mirror, you know, that you really are just you. And I think that's, you know, and the people that know you as just you, it's something I realized moving around a lot, that it was like very important for me to go back to places where people knew me from when I was a kid and knew me before I was, again, someone's, you know, and maybe even friends that I made, you know, outside of the family context. So they just knew me as me, like not as daughter, wife, mother. So really interesting. And thank you so much, Margot. We're going to quickly go to a short break, and then we're going to turn to Leanne and speak to Leanne about her piece. And then we will come back and all have a big conversation about, you know, all the different things that are coming out of this work. So you've been listening to Margot Bethel, who is one of the many participating artists, Bahamian artists, in the National Exhibition, which is currently on at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.